first of all.
My name is Ben Barnes, and this is January the what?
I've lost track. 22nd.
2010, and that would be 38 years ago since the primary of 1972.
Wow. Okay. And coming up to that election year, why did you decide to get into that race?
I think we go back to 1968. 1968, I thought John Connally was going to run for re-election, and I went ahead and announced for lieutenant governor. The polls in 1968 showed that I could beat Preston Smith, even though I was only 30 years old. I was 11 points up on Preston Smith, and his polls showed that I was about 10 points. Then, but I had already announced for lieutenant governor. I didn't want to look like I was ambitious and trying to move up chairs too rapidly. And then things went very well in my first term as lieutenant governor. And in 1970, Senator Ralph Yarber's seat was up. And the polls were astounding that I was 17 points ahead of Senator Yarber for re-election. And it showed that his negatives were down in the 30s. His policies were down in the 30s, and I felt like that Senator Yarber was going to get beat, and that he was going to be beaten by George Bush, who'd already announced this is George Bush 1. So I did not want the Republicans to have the other Senate seat in Texas. They already had John Tower's seat. And so but I made up my mind that the governor's office was where I wanted to go because Texas desperately needed a new constitution. And I knew that I had the support in the legislature to pass a constitutional amendment calling a constitutional convention, which I did pass in 1971, and which we did have in 1973. Funny thing, I wasn't governor to be there to bring about a new constitution. But I felt like that the governor was where that I could make the biggest difference at that time, and if I wanted to go to the Senate later. And that's the reason that I showed my polls to Senator Lloyd Benson, who was a very successful businessman at that time, and I said, you know, I'm not an enemy of Senator Yarber, Lloyd, but he's going to get beat, and we can't afford to have two Republican senators from Texas, and so you need to run. And so Lloyd Benson agreed to run, and he beat Yarber in the primary, as my polls showed that almost anyone was going to, and then he handedly defeated George Bush Sr. in the general election in 1970. I had been Hubert Humphrey's campaign manager in Texas in 1968. Humphrey had carried Texas by a bigger margin than Johnson and Kennedy had. Richard Nixon became aware of me, and I got on Nixon's list. And as the Nixon tapes were to show, Nixon wanted me out of politics, and he not only picked on me, he picked on three or four other Southern Democrats that he wanted the South to go Republican, which the South did, and he had the federal government use the power of the federal government to politically harass and to politically destroy. Sharpstown was the big issue in 1972. Before Gus Muchard's trial, I was beating the six candidates in the five other candidates in the governor's race. I was still winning without a runoff. They tried Gus Muchard in Abilene. When they found Gus Muchard guilty, they found state government guilty. The bottom started falling out of the polls, and Nixon had accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. And on Nixon's tapes, we have a conversation that still sends chills down my back, where Mitchell goes into Nixon and says, "Well, I've got good news for you about Texas, Mr. President." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, we've got the governor and the Speaker of the House, both involved with this, a guy named Frank Sharp, who loaned the money, sold him some stock, and then bought it back from him. And we're going to indict the whole bunch of them." And he said, "Well, what about Barnes?" And Mitchell said, "Well, Barnes wasn't involved. We can't find out where he had anything to do with it." He said, "Well, I don't care about the rest." He said, "If he can't get Barnes involved in the Sharp deal, get him involved in something. That's who I want." If this had been in the day of don't let a news cycle die before you answer, kind of the Bill Clinton way of doing politics, and he kind of initiated that. No, we didn't do it, and I'll always wonder if we could have maybe won and pulled that race off and gotten the runoff, because if I'd gotten the runoff, I'd gotten fair into those votes and would have beaten. But we were so high in the polls that we didn't think that Sharpstown was, because you see, we'd polled in February and March, and there'd been the publicity about Sharpstown. But what really drove the nail in the coffin was Mutcher's trial. But Mutcher gets found guilty, and we got 3 weeks left. And so we had nightly polls in Houston, and when I was up at 55, 56, 57% of the vote, then the Mutcher trial got announced and started dripping down. And then the trial started, and it started going down a little bit more. And then when they found Mutcher guilty, they found state government guilty. Everybody, and everybody running statewide that was incumbent got beat that year. Our state controller, mm-hmm. our attorney general, a brush just painted everyone. And so I went from 55% in the polls down to 20% in the polls in a matter of 3 weeks. So the thing just all worked out perfect for Briscoe to have the money to spend an unlimited amount of money. Then Farenthold came along, and she was a woman, first woman since Maul Ferguson. She was a member of the Dirty 30. She'd never passed a bill. She'd never made an important legislative impression. But it was unique, and people were mad as hell, kind of a little bit like they are right now. But people just said, by God, they're corrupt and awesome. Let's get rid of all of them. And that's what the TV fueled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doc Briscoe said, I'm going to wear my boots, Dawson, because I'm going to kick those crooks out of that capital down there. And Farenthold said, I'll make you an honest governor and all. And Johnson and Connally told me also that look, you've got to keep the business community involved in the Democratic Party, because if the business people ever leave the Democratic Party, then you're gonna the Texas will go Republican, and it'll stay Republican for the next 20 or 30 years. You know, it's very interesting. The Ralph Yarber Farenthold people would tell you that Barnes was a part of the Johnson, Connally, Rayburn establishment of Texas, and that by gosh, they weren't real true Democrats or real true liberals. And then the conservatives would say, well, Barnes is he's way too progressive, or he's too liberal. And so I guess I was, and it was becoming more and more fashionable and more socially important to be a Republican in Texas. And if I'd been elected a Democrat governor at 34, I think probably a lot of the business community and certainly the hierarchy of the Republican Party thought that it was going to be a continuation of the Rayburn-Johnson control of Texas for the next 10 years. And that's one of the things that Farenthold said when in her race. She said, I'm running to end the Rayburn-Johnson-Connally control of Texas. But I think that probably that Briscoe didn't continue to try, well, I know this, he didn't continue to try to build the party and try to bring keep the a lot of the business leaders in the party, and they made a hasty exit out of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. All roads lead back to the candidate, and you know, I think I was probably politically spoiled too. The voters had been so good to me. My political career came to an abrupt end in 1972. And I don't want this to sound wrong, and I don't want it to sound that I'm not grateful, but I really kind of felt that look, people in Texas had been very good to me, and I had offered myself, and I'd offered almost 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to be a really devoted public servant. And they made a decision that they didn't want me in politics.